At the risk of adding my voice to a dissonant choir of which the entire world seems to be taking part, I want to talk about the COVID-19 epidemic. To be honest, when I say epidemic, I'm not sure what I'm referring to, the virus or the reaction to the virus. Never in my lifetime have I seen such a phenomenon, nor is anyone else alive right now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Death of Death, where we proclaim Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. I'm your host, Nick Stewart. I hope everyone out there is staying safe and healthy, and I hope that you are diversifying your funds into various meats like I am, because currently meat is the only thing not going down in value. Today, I'm going to do an episode for which you will never forgive me. I struggled with whether or not to do an episode like this, but I think things have changed since episode 10, and it needed to be done. I'm going to say some very negative things about the government. I don't always like being negative, so sometimes I say to myself, Nick, why can't you, be like that guy over there who doesn't stay awake at night because of ideas and principles? That guy has friends, and look at him joyfully paying his taxes and waiting in line at the DMV with a smile on his face. And then I snap out of it, and I realize that I'd rather die than be that guy. And if that seems harsh, then you don't truly know me. So the first thing we want to think about is the actual virus. It's an interesting time because everyone is now an epidemiologist or a virologist, and everyone has an opinion on this. It's become next to impossible to know anything about it because experts started by passing off projections as if they were actual statistics. Some people continue to uphold views like this is just another flu and the fatalities we're expecting aren't statistically a problem. And I can't say that I don't sympathize with that. We've had a lot of health scares in the recent past that panned out to be nothing or next to nothing, like Ebola or swine flu or, I'm talking about here in the States. I don't, they're obviously a bigger deal other places, but the government has already proven itself to be pretty untrustworthy through this whole thing, especially when it comes to information about masks. On top of that, false information spreads between people, so naturally false ideas persist and are quite common, like this being a regular flu. I think that's, kind of true, except how contagious it is and possibility of it mutating is kind of a concern. Even though the data shows that the virus itself is mild and the mortality rate is very low, it can still be a danger to elderly people or those with pre-existing conditions. Statistics don't mean anything to the individual. We obviously know that. COVID-19 is a mutation of a larger variety of viruses known as simply as coronavirus. The fear is that this virus can mutate into something worse than it already is. And if I sound skeptical, I kind of am. I have to admit, I've heard all the things explaining what this is and what it does. I've gone back and forth on this multiple times, and in episode 10, I said that shutting everything down was the responsible thing to do. I haven't changed my mind about that so much, but I have changed my mind about how certain a fact that is. Isolation may be the proper response. I just think there were better ways of doing it earlier on that would have been more efficient. We've closed schools, so medical professionals have to either take off work or find alternative care for their kids, and we sent possibly infected college students home to hole up with their parents and grandparents, and that just doesn't make sense to me. It would have made more sense to isolate those most vulnerable and let the disease run its course through everyone else. And if that sounds extreme, you're right, but I'm not sure kickstarting the next Great Depression is any more of a level-headed response. There's also the possibility that asymptomatic carriers died of other causes and have been counted among the death rate of the virus. I'm not trying to spread misinformation or throw things out without backing them up. I'm just trying to prove the point that the data is still woefully inadequate to tell us what we're actually dealing with. The reaction to this has been the most disconcerting thing about it for me. People are so hysterical and hopeless that they're hoarding a good which nobody anticipated being useful for this virus. It hasn't been known to cause dysentery, yet the first response to it was to hoard toilet paper. Water bottles were also hoarded when nearly everyone doing so has a working sink in their home. This just shows the foolishness of people who have no biblical worldview. and no grasp of the situation at hand. I feel like this episode is going to be the episode to showcase all of my unpopular opinions, but possibly the only reason this type of hoarding and shortages took place is because there are laws against price gouging. This will elegantly lead us into my next point about government overreach, but come along with me on this thought. There are laws now that you can't raise the price of an essential good more than 10% during a state of emergency. Stores have resorted to limiting the amount of toilet paper each household can buy, which would happen naturally if they could raise the prices, except in this situation, nobody prospers. Keep in mind that the term price gouging is just a word created to villainize a very natural function of supply and demand. When something becomes more valuable, which again, I'm not seeing the value of toilet paper at this level, but let's go with it. This is economic theory happening before our very eyes, so you get to see what a nerd I truly am. Basic supply and demand. When something becomes more valuable, the price of that thing rises. Simple enough, right? So when toilet paper suddenly and randomly becomes the most valuable thing in the store, what should happen? Well, if they simply can't keep any of it on the shelf, they should be allowed to raise the price and make more money off of it. This is price gouging, right? Sorta. The price of something should be determined by what people are willing to pay for it. If they're willing to pay more, then it's worth that much. At this point, I'm sure you could sell a package of toilet paper for $20. If you're thinking to yourself that you wouldn't pay that much, then okay, you don't value it as much as other people do. The one valuing the toilet paper at $20 will get it, and you won't. That's how it should be. By letting the market do what it does naturally, people won't be hoarding something that's more expensive. They'll get what they need, and then others can get some too. Here's an example. There was a man in Tennessee, I'll link to this in the show notes, he saw the writing on the wall when it came to hand sanitizer, so he bought out all of the dollar stores and grocery stores and, you know, supply stores in his area, and he bought all the hand sanitizer and he put it in a storage unit. And he was going to sell all of this on eBay for a profit, but eBay penalized him for price gouging, so what happened? eBay, in its altruistic mission to punish price gougers, forced this man to hoard all of the hand sanitizer in his area and caused many people in the area not to get it. Does that sound fair or helpful on the part of someone who's trying to punish a price gouger? I saw recently that he ended up donating it because he literally could not sell it. It's the most valuable thing on the planet right now, and he couldn't sell a storage unit full of it, so he donated it. And congratulations, not only does he not get his profit, but he loses all the money that he invested in it in the first place. So this is a classic example of how government intervention just never does what it's supposed to do. They make laws against price gouging so everyone can get something, right? What ended up happening? If the man chose not to donate the hand sanitizer, it would have all gone to waste and no one would have gotten it. Another example of how the market solves a problem on its own and the government only makes it worse. So why is it that we hate profits so much? Why is Bernie Sanders on the news telling whichever pharmaceutical company that develops a vaccine first that they have to sell it at cost so they don't make a profit on it? Profits are the motive behind everything people do. We do things for not just money, not just profits and money. We do things for more money, but we do things for more love and attention, for more respect, for more power. John Piper has a lot to say about living a life of enjoying God for the joy of it. That's a profit too. We profit by enjoying God. We're profiting in joy. The point is, we're not only eliminating people's motivation to be productive, we're also sometimes eliminating people's motivation to do the right thing. Sadly, we never get to see what doesn't happen because of government intervention. We never see the companies that aren't started because of outrageous tax laws. We never see the helpful products that are never created because of foolish regulations. We are facing unprecedented levels of government overreach today. Ironically, some are arguing for more and more government intervention when government intervention is partly to blame for some of the problems at hand. There are regulations on tests for COVID-19. There are regulations on how many hospitals can occupy an area and how many beds each hospital can house. Yet we see this as a whole to be filled with more regulations. But what's even scarier than that is the simple truth that this kind of overreach never goes away. There's always an excuse to encroach on the people's liberty, but after that excuse goes away, the encroachment remains. Income tax began as a temporary measure to fund the Civil War. I think that war is over now, yet nobody alive has ever lived in an America where a significant portion of their income wasn't stolen. So a lot of my concerns aren't in the here and now so much, but in where we're going when this is all over. Will shutting down the economy become a regular and viable option every time there's a virus going around? What about climate change? Hasn't that been the end of the world for like 50 plus years now? How is that not a state of emergency in their view? I don't buy into that personally, but like if it is such a big deal, why aren't we shutting everything down for that reason? Will churches continue to yield to this type of control indefinitely is what we should be thinking about. I think this is going to be detrimental to the economy. I'm skeptical whether the hypothetical effects of the virus could have actualized as many deaths as this depression will. In addition to the suicide rate rising significantly in step with the unemployment rate, goods aren't being produced at the same rate, so that means shortages and inevitable starvation. Homelessness is likely a fallout from any depression, so we can expect that and all the associated issues such as drug addiction and theft to follow. But before you stop me and say, I thought that this was the show about optimism, why are we being so lugubrious? I say, first of all, very good word usage. Second, these types of situations bring about positive things as well as negative. For one, I'm positive that this will bring about fantastic innovation and economic growth for some. Lots of jobs are going to be automated, and with a changing landscape like that, there are always new jobs being created. Some can be on the front lines of brand new industries we've never seen before. This might be a strange observation on my part, but the bidet market will probably really take off at this point. If people can't find any more toilet paper, then eventually people will start transitioning to an alternative. There will be a new boom for these types of products, which will probably result in more jobs, and they're probably cheaper than toilet paper over time, and definitely better for plumbing. So imagine all the ways that this can improve our lives. That's just one example of how things could change positively. Second, I think that this will author a distrust of government among the people. Lots of people are catching on to the fact that the government lied to us about the effectiveness of masks and how to use them. And why do you think they did that? It's not a weird conspiracy. They did it so that medical professionals would have them. They didn't want to run out. I can make another comment about price gouging that's better left unsaid here, but let's just say it's becoming very obvious to people that the government is pointless. Even if they believe quarantine is the best thing for us, eventually we'll stop wanting the safety and we'll want the freedom, just like those silly vapors. Great example of that. The reality is that places with less regulations are doing much better than we are through this event. South Korea is doing fine because they had tests available and everyone who isolated did so voluntarily. I wouldn't normally laud South Korea for something like that, but this time they got it right and we didn't. I am being 100% honest with you when I tell you, I'm always searching for the situation where government is necessary. I'm always wondering what thing we simply could not do without it. I want to know. I want an example of something that we need the government for, but time and time again, I'm solidified in the axiom that we don't need government. But enough of my ranting. Third positive thing I can see through this. I think that this will be good for the church because it's going to make church harder. Sounds strange, I know. Right now, there isn't as much of an incentive to give to the church because we're not there every Sunday. So the people giving really want to give. It's truly in their heart to do so. Now imagine coming back to church when this is all over. Do you think it's going to be easy to get up more than an hour before church and get dressed and ready to go? I've been waking up 10 minutes before church. I grab a coffee and my notebook and away we go. People who attend church when this is all over are going to be people who really, really want to attend church. That will be a strengthening thing for the church. How does this relate to our biblical worldview? Well, God is sovereign, obviously. He's sovereign over our bodies and the illnesses which invade them. He's sovereign over whether or not I get sick when I leave my house. But he's also sovereign over the government telling me not to leave my house. And unfortunately, sovereignty does work both ways like that. I kind of want to do an episode on sickness and disease in the Bible and God's control over it. Today we're out of time for that kind of thing, but I need to rest in that reality more, and I think we all do. It's not my job to take all the lemons and make lemonade for you. Try finding your own lemonade in this situation. The one thing I would not recommend you do is sit around your house being scared during this time. Find a way to make this time awesome. Finish those projects, read those books, learn that language, master the pogo stick, watch all of the Jurassic Park movies in one day like my fiance and I did. God is sovereign over history, and this doesn't even amount to a speed bump in his way. I'm not sure if there even is a valid and invalid response to this type of thing besides sitting back and realizing that we are living through a very interesting time in history. It's not the end of the world, and if we do things right, it's an opportunity to change things. That's all the time we have for today, so follow at Death of Death Pod on Twitter and Instagram to keep in touch with us. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app and leave a 5-star review. Share this episode on social media and tell some friends. Email me at nick@deathofdeathpodcast.com. Go to deathofdeath.net and subscribe to the email list. And don't forget to go to patreon.com/deathofdeath to become a member of the elect for only $4 a month. I've been your host, Nick, here to tell you that the government is pointless, and if you are as committed to proclaiming the victory of Christ as I am, I'll be here to do it all with you again next week. Goodbye for now.